and if you don't move now, I'm going to leave without you, because any second now you're going to suggest that we put on... The door opened. Two husky young men stepped into the room. All they were wearing was a pair of woollen pants apiece. One of them was still toweling himself briskly. They both nodded at the two escapees with no apparent surprise. The taller of the two men sat down on one of the benches in front of the seats. He beckoned to Rincewind and said, "Tjör jur atalho suten getrunen?" And this was awkward, because although Rincewind considered himself an expert in most of the tongues of the western segments of the disc, it was the first time that he had ever been addressed in Krallian, and he didn't understand one word of it. Neither did Twoflower, but that did not stop him stepping forward and taking a breath. The speed of light through a magical aura such as the one that surrounded the disc was quite slow, being not much faster than the speed of sound in less highly tuned universes. But it was still the fastest thing around, with the exception, in moments like this, of Rincewind's mind. In an instant he became aware that the tourist was about to try his own peculiar brand of linguistics, which meant that he would speak loudly and slowly in his own language. Rincewind's elbow shot back, knocking the breath from Twoflower's body. When the little man looked up in pain and astonishment, Rincewind caught his eye and pulled an imaginary tongue out of his mouth and cut it with an imaginary pair of scissors. The second Chelonaut, for such was the profession of the men whose fate it would shortly be to voyage to Great Artuin, looked up from the chart table and watched this in puzzlement. His big heroic brow wrinkled with the effort of speech. "Hör you la truen nor e?" he said. Rincewind smiled and nodded, and pushed Twoflower in his general direction. With an inward sigh of relief, he saw the tourist pay sudden attention to a big brass telescope that lay on the table. "Suten u," commanded the seated Chelonaut. Rincewind nodded and smiled, and took one of the big copper helmets from the rack and brought it down on the man's head as hard as he possibly could. The Chelonaut fell forward with a soft grunt. The other man took one startled step before Twoflower hit him amateurishly, but effectively, with the telescope. He crumpled on top of his colleague. Rincewind and Twoflower looked at each other over the carnage. "All right," snapped Rincewind, aware that he had lost some kind of contest, but not entirely certain what it was. "Don't bother to say it. Someone out there is expecting these two guys to come out in the suits in a minute. I suppose they thought we were slaves. Help me hide these behind the drapes, and then... "We'd better suit up," said Twoflower, picking up the second helmet. "Yes," said Rincewind. "You know, as soon as I saw the suits, I just knew I'd end up wearing one. Don't ask me how I knew. I suppose it was because it was just about the worst possible thing that was likely to happen." "Well, you said yourself we have no way of escaping," said Twoflower, his voice muffled as he put the top half of a suit over his head. "Anything's better than being sacrificed." "As soon as we get a chance, we run for it," said Rincewind. "Don't get any ideas." He thrust an arm savagely into his suit and banged his head on the helmet. He reflected briefly that someone up there was watching over him. "Thanks a lot," he said bitterly. At the very edge of the city and country of Krall was a large semicircular amphitheatre with seating for several tens of thousands of people. The arena was only semicircular for the very elegant reason that it overlooked the cloud sea that boiled up from the rimfall far below. And now every seat was occupied, and the crowd was growing restive. It had come to see a double sacrifice, and also the launching of the great bronze spaceship. Neither event had yet materialized. The arch-astronomer beckoned the master launch controller to him.
Well, he said, filling a mere four letters with a full lexicon of anger and menace.
The master launch controller went pale.
"No news, Lord," said the launch controller,
and added with a brittle brightness,
"except that your prominence will be pleased to hear that Garhathra has recovered."
That is a fact he may come to regret," said the arch-astronomer.
"Yes, Lord."
"How much longer do we have?"
The launch controller glanced at the rapidly climbing sun.
30 minutes, your prominence. After that, Krall will have revolved away from Great Artuin's tail, and the potent Voyager will be doomed to spin away into the Interterrapine Gulf. I have already set the automatic controls, so..."
All right, the arch-astronomer said, waving him away. "The launch must go ahead.